Abdu'l-Bahá. January 1, 1913, New York. Publication, New York Post. Leader of Baha'ist finds this city beautiful and great, but its civilization is too material. Abdu'l-Bahá Abbas, leader of the sect of Baha'is and the head of a religion which is said to have several hundred thousand followers, has recently finished a pilgrimage in search of disciples, which stretched from the Atlantic to the Pacific. In the course of his journey, the Master, as he is called by his converts, has visited Chicago, San Francisco, Cleveland, Detroit, Washington, Philadelphia, and other cities. At the request of the Son, the prophet of Baha'i religion dictated a statement concerning his impressions of New York and other cities he has visited. At the outset, he explained that in his travels, the material things he has seen have interested him little. He hasn't cared to see any of the notable buildings of New York and has not visited the museums and art galleries. While he has seen a bit of Central Park, his time when he has not been with his disciples at his temporary residence, 309 West 78th Street, or speaking at meetings in various parts of the city, has been spent in walking through Riverside Park, near the place of abode. It is in this way that he takes his rest, and he usually goes alone, because he finds no rest when there is someone along with whom he might converse. For these reasons, he has seen less of New York and this country than the average traveler from abroad. And although he is to remain here until fall, there is little likelihood that he will see much more before he departs for the East. While Abdu'l-Bahá has picked up a few English words of greeting while in this country, and he is acquainted with the various foreign languages, he speaks most expressively in his native tongue. The Son is therefore indebted to his interpreter, Dr. Amin U. Farid, for the translation of Abdu'l-Bahá's account of his impressions, which follows. New York is very well built, and it is very costly, but too many people reside in it. I like small towns and cities, and I liked Washington very much. New York is very prosperous, and I can see it as a great commercial center. As one approaches the harbor, New York looms up in the horizon as a colossal statue symbolic of all America. From every standpoint, it exhibits extraordinary advancement. Likewise, all other cities of America are in the utmost order. The continent is a garden in the utmost state of freshness and rapture. But it needs a melody of the kingdom in order that it may become the paradise of the world of humanity. The government is a fair one, the nation intelligent. The liberty of the world of humanity, like an eagle, has unfurled its royal feathers and overshadowed this clime. I hope that it may achieve the utmost of progress. It is my hope that the banner of universal peace may be first hoisted in America, and that the tabernacle of oneness of mankind shall be pitched hither. The oneness of language may first radiate from here and spread throughout the world. What is the melody of the kingdom? To be free from the world of matter a bit. In the Orient, through the effective power of Baha'u'llah, the foundation of divine and heavenly civilization was laid, and in the Occident, its material civilization is day by day advancing. If divine civilization together with material civilization can be united, then it shall be light upon light, and the utmost happiness will accrue to the body politic. Consider that the body politic in these countries is day and night exerting itself to the utmost in order to obtain wealth, but you do not have happiness, love, and unity among hearts such as ought to obtain. They do not exist because cordial love, save through the emanations of the conscience and spiritual susceptibility, cannot be realized. Material love is an exigency of the animal world, But the love of the conscience is an exigency of the world of man, and the latter cannot be attained save through heavenly means. His Holiness Christ endured all hardships and ordeals in order to found the spiritual love and that the world might be illuminated. No matter how far material civilization shall have advanced, it will not prove the cause of fellowship love. But divine civilization has for its fundamental basis absolute love. That is why God has sent prophets in order that they may found divine civilizations and connect the hearts of men with one another. The foundation of all the divine religions is love. But alas, that the religionists have used the religion as the cause of enmity and the cause of murder and rapine, whereas His Holiness Baha'u'llah states that if religion be the cause of enmity, surely the lack of religion is better than its presence. Because religious teachings are as remedies. If the remedy be productive of disease, surely its lack is better than its presence. To forsake that treatment is better than its use. The divine religions are all capable of commingling because they are all reality and reality is one. Subsequent imitations, which have nothing to do whatsoever with the divine religions, have proved to be the cause of warfare and battle.